Washington, D.C. was the beating heart of the political machine and a favorite location for networking and high-dollar fundraisers. The Republican Party always took advantage of this particular venue because there were so many rich, conservative donors who lived nearby. Most of the supporters of the fundraiser considered the decor of the enormous ballroom elegant with its imported marble floors and handcrafted crystal chandeliers. Tony, however, was oblivious to her surroundings. "At least I get to play bartender for part of the evening. Look at all these fat cats stuffed into their too tight tuxedos," she grumbled into her wireless communication device. "God, how do their wives crawl into bed with them every night? Don't their big old pot bellies get in the way? Kim, make sure to steer Byron to my bar as soon as they get here. I'd rather not cut this too close." Tony carefully scratched under one side of her ash blonde wig. It and hazel contacts created the illusion of a typical college student picking up extra cash by working the special event. She sighed, unable to shake the feeling that something terrible would happen tonight. Ha, feeling. Tony chuckled aloud. At least that was one thing she and Sophie had in common. She knew Sophie didn't put any weight on all that mumbo-jumbo crap that Kim was always talking about. Tony and Sophie dealt in facts and things you could actually see and hear. Tony shifted uneasily behind the bar as she thought of the fateful night when a similar suspicion had burrowed into her unconscious brain. As it turned out, that feeling of doom proved spot on. Can't think about that now. The only good outcome from that night was Sophie's resignation from the FBI and the subsequent partnership and joining of forces with her two best friends. The price paid was brutal to everyone. Sophie lost her partner, Nat, and Tony felt the loss of a good friend. In addition, Nat's death left Sophie bitter and suspicious of almost everyone. Sophie entered the ballroom, offering her escort for the evening a quick smile as she excused herself. Tony whispered into the comlink, "I don't see Kim. Where is she? That bastard better show." "Calm down, Tony. I just saw Kim and Byron out front. They should be here in 5. I'll direct her to you as we planned," Sophie replied when she was well away from prying ears. Sophie's transformation in her salmon-colored evening gown that hugged her curves in all the right places amazed Tony. She also noted the admiring glance that Kim quickly masked as she resumed her character for the evening. Kim's ability to adopt any persona they needed constantly shocked Tony. As a former theater graduate from Stanford, Kim was, by far, their most talented undercover player. "I've got a bad feeling about tonight. Did you place our contingency disguises where the cameras can't track the change?" Sophie asked. "Of course. The paranoia of these bank execs sometimes works to our advantage. The hotel always has to have a few very private locations for their guests. I've found every one of them and used the schematics for the building to ensure safe hiding places. I see Kim coming in now, so you'd better hurry back to your date. Kim picked out a nice dress for you, by the way. So I can't wait to see what she picked out for me. She certainly has a flair for selecting just the right outfit." "Whoa. What? Something wrong? Is Kim okay?" Sophie asked. Yeah. Check out the redhead coming in behind Kim and Byron. Wow, I definitely need to meet her." No way. Tony, you do not have time tonight. Didn't I just say I have a bad feeling?" "Shh. Date alert at 2:00. Intercept in less than 3.